John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase, although it's Darren McFarland, me, Willie Donick, and East Nashville. Chase will be hosting the afternoon show with the GM, Floyd Reese. That's all coming up at 2 o'clock today. We now bring in Vince Ferrara in Knoxville at Vince Sports, WNML, at Vince Sports on Twitter, WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville. And Vince Ferrara every week is powered by TechCorp, providing you top-of-the-line IT service and Turner Security Systems right here in Nashville. Vince, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for TechCorp, and thankful I had SEC football on my TV this past weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, real quick, Mark Stoops today saying that the SEC presidents are voting, or I guess re-voting, on the rule transferring in conference. He said Kentucky is going to vote for it to happen. I think Tennessee would vote for it to happen. Probably Auburn would vote for it to happen. Where do you think this is going? And if it is passed, you know, what's going to be the latest on Cade Mays?
Well, Jeremy Pruitt was asked about that, and he's like, I hadn't heard of that. So if maybe that's something that they're doing on their own. I don't know how you don't communicate that. So that sounds strange to me. If
right. Yeah.
Doing this to try to help the coaches out. Oh, by the way, we're doing this. But look, Greg Sankey said that what it came down to is the existing transfer rule within the NCAA, within the SEC. He said the presidents and the ADs are the ones that didn't want to allow in-conference transfers. And a couple of years ago, they amended that rule to have a couple of exceptions. And one was for grad transfers, and the other was for a school with NCAA sanctions, like Van Jefferson allowed to go from Ole Miss to Florida. Those are the only exceptions to the rule. And Greg Sankey's like, well, if you guys don't want this rule, then we need to change the rule. But right now, we have this rule. And my thing is these are unusual circumstances in 2020. So I know that's the rule that they had, but you override that. I think the league should just override it and say, all right, we're going to let these players through this year. I know this is the rule that you guys voted on. We're going to readdress this after the year. And then we're done at this point, and then we'll revisit it. Now, I guess the alternative to not breaking a rule from the SEC would be to have the presidents vote on it again. So I don't know why we would have to go to this extent in order to get this pushed through, but it clearly impacts multiple schools and three different players, so it's not just for Tennessee. And to me, it's silly to hang it up on this existing rule with the circumstances of 2020. I don't know how it's going to play out. My guess is they'll figure it out eventually, and then the players will have missed a couple of games, and that'll be sort of the NCAA-ish unintended or indirect punishment for transfer of a couple of games.
What'd you make of quarterback play Jarrett Garantano?
Mixed bag. I thought that he definitely missed on a number of throws, and he missed on them high. He said he was leaning back some and kind of anticipating rush. I don't know why he would do that. He had some pressure, but the guy is too experienced. You know, he said he's going to go in there, work his butt off, and go get back to work. Man, I'm telling you, there's people are tired of it. We probably got more Garantano complaints in the post game or during the game and the post game than any other type of comment. on the ball game.
Really?
The people that are fed up with him saw the same thing. And I didn't really see great improvement from him. Maybe a little bit in terms of anticipation, but, you know, his anticipation might have been a little bit better, but his accuracy wasn't there with his fundamentals. But I don't think for Tennessee to do anything special this year, I don't think you saw enough of an improvement or any improvement from Garantano to make you think that they can, you know, do special things. I think he was indicative of the entire team overall, and that's inconsistent in the game, but did enough to win, which is actually consistent to what they've been doing under Pruitt in the last seven games.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that his best trait is he does enough to win? It's never, you know, it's kind of going back to what we were talking earlier about the Titans. Vince is, okay, they're 3-0, and right now you would say they haven't won any beauty contests.
Right.
Because it has, they've won three games by a total of 6 points. But you're 3-0. So I would say the same thing with that. He typically doesn't win a lot of beauty contests with his play, but they keep winning when he's under center. I mean, remember, they've tried to remove him several times, and it always comes back to him, and he gets it done. You know, I think one of the plays that also surprised me late, you know, they're in the red zone, and, you know, he's got actually like two receivers crossing the middle, and he just, I mean, he fires it like it was like a Brett Favre pass, where he threw it about 185 miles per hour, and there was no chance. I mean, I guess it wasn't going to get picked off because there was no chance anybody could catch it.
Yep. Well, it's interesting. On that throw, I thought of something his summer quarterback coach, Tony Rasiopi, told me, and has told me multiple times, but told me in the summer that he had been working on with Garantano, and that's in some of those intermediate shots to – put touch on the ball. He didn't have to throw a fastball at 100 miles per hour every time. And he didn't execute what they worked on in the offseason. So, yes, there's things that he can be better on. It's crazy. It seems like when he gets smacked in the face, has pressure in his face, things look their bleakest, is when he comes through with a clutch throw. And even on that flea flicker that went wrong, kind of that improvisation to be able to get it to Eric Gray and let him make a play down into the inside the 5-yard line. It's the basic easy thing sometimes elude him, but when it's the toughest and harshest on him, he comes through. And especially when there's not the expectations for him at that time, it's just a crazy characteristic that he has. But you're right, much like the team, they seem to figure it out. And I don't know if someone else would, if he is inconsistent within a game, how much he'd get yanked again. My guess is he would if somebody's ready. But I don't know that anybody's ready right now with Harrison Bailey having missed so much time the 5-star true freshman with contact tracing and Maurer banged up, Shroud, you know, I don't know, is at that level. So I think for a while it's probably Garantano's show for now.
There was a lot of concerns of what would the wide receiver play look like with all their losses. I thought the wide receiver play was better than I expected. What about you?
Well, it didn't involve as many of the freshmen as I think originally Tennessee would have hoped. And part of that is because the wide receiver, that group, along with the DBs and the offensive line, have been the positions most hit hard by contact tracing and players being out. So those guys didn't have an opportunity to really show what they can do enough in practice for the trust level to be there. Jalen Hyatt got a couple of snaps, who I thought was going to be the best of those freshmen. Garantano sailed a throw intended for him, but you know, Pruitt thinks that those guys are going to come along as soon as they get some more reps. None of them even showed up on the 2D. But I think, to your point, Valus Jones Jr. was very impressive as a wide receiver. He was more of a return man at USC, and he showed that they can use him with some run after catch, use him in those underneath routes, a little bit of a safety valve that you normally would have with a tight end, and they don't have really a much of a pass-catching threat at tight end right now. So if you can use Jones in that group, in that role along with the running backs, I think you can offset that to a certain degree. But, yeah, Jones Jr. and then the Brandon Johnson, fantastic one-handed catch he had. Josh Palmer getting open. I thought that was one of the keys to the game, Darren, going in. I said it in my blog that South Carolina has as good a corners as there is in this league with McQuamu and Horn. And I thought Tennessee did a pretty good job. If Garantano doesn't fail some throws, they have much better stats. And that game is probably put away a lot earlier than what it was. But it was a good day for the receivers.
All right, let me be Debbie Downer for just a second and just ask. I know, shocking. Let's first here on Darren, Donick, and Chase from me. But, I mean, I brought this up last week. I said I was going to ask it to you because I just am a little – it's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me, just to be perfectly honest. I just want to know how it was received in your market and on the Sports Animal there in Knoxville. But I didn't really understand the need to announce this extension and raise for Jeremy Pruitt before the season even began. Two more years for a contract that wasn't up until 2023 in the middle of a global pandemic. I got to be honest. I didn't think it was a very good idea at all. What's been the reaction there? And why? Like, it's not like you're in danger of, like, why was there this great need to rush and get this news out there before they had played, you know, their first game of the season? It's not like Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's not like they may end up having a fantastic season. What's his record? One game over 500 since he's been the coach? I mean, it's not like, you know, LSU's going to fire Ed Orgeron and they're going to come pluck Jeremy Pruitt. So what was the need? So how was it received there?
I don't think there was much of a negative reaction. I think some people were probably a little bit surprised because, look, for some, the jury is still out. For others, they completely believe in Jeremy Pruitt. So it's not a consensus for all the fan base. I think more people support him and believe in him. I mean, heck, the team has a 7-game win streak. So I think the supporters are going to be in greater numbers. But I agree, it's probably not the best look during this period of time to announce an extension. But my guess is that they probably felt like this was something necessary from a recruiting standpoint. And maybe
if that was the case, Vince, why? Like, because they're afraid he's going to take another job somewhere?
Well, no. If you're being negatively recruited, that if they have a disappointing year, that they could move on from Pruitt. Now, I don't believe
Who's thinking that? Nobody. Like, it's a perfect in-between. He's not on any kind of a hot seat, and he's not a guy that's about to take a job at the next place. So, therefore, that's what I don't get about.
And he's not in a final year. I mean, 2023. Yeah. I mean,
Right. It's not that he's on a hot seat, but it's the show of stability and support. So even if he's not on the hot seat and people aren't complaining about him or he's on the brink of losing his job, that doesn't mean that can't be used against you in recruiting. People will negatively recruit anything they can find. So if that's something that was important to them and they felt like, hey, let's do this, we can end any doubt. I don't think there's doubt, but I'm just saying that could have been a reason for it to announce it. I also don't know that it was rushed. I think it may have been slid in there. This might have been something that's been in the works for a while, and they wanted to wait until they were right on the brink of the season so maybe it wouldn't get the attention that normally it would have at the peak of the uncertainty of a football season and all that. So, I don't think it's something that was received negatively, but it is, it was an interesting move. It considering everything that people are going through, it was not, you know, when so many people are losing jobs and there's budgets and everything, it's not a great look. And I don't know that there's been a whole lot of people that have done that, coaches around the country, but that doesn't mean they're not getting those extensions. It just means that they may not be announced.
Talking to Vince Ferrara. So, Vince, you know, you do an incredible amount of preparation of what you think you're going to see from the roster, but knowing that when you can't watch a lot of the preseason, that there's going to be some surprises, particularly this year, with guys in and out of practice. So, all in all, when you saw the product on the field, what was the biggest surprise that you didn't see coming?
I'd say the performance of DeAndre Johnson, one of those outside linebackers. He was named the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. He's an outside backer, basically playing the jack slash defensive end, had his hand down quite a bit. And he was one of those guys, he and Kevon Bennett, that were the biggest guys that you pointed to as needing to step up and provide pass rush in place of Darrell Taylor, who was by far the best pass rusher last year. And Johnson, with 2.5 sacks, the 2.5 tackles for loss, 6 tackles in the game, most sacks by a Tennessee player since Darrell Taylor against Kentucky in 2018. And that was he had a forced fumble as well. I mean, he had a really nice game. That's the best game I've seen him play. It was only his 4th start and in his time at Tennessee. And so I had a little bit more faith in him than Kevon Bennett, because of his consistency. And Bennett will flash and then be very quiet or miss an assignment or something. I think he's more consistent, but that was the kind of play, game-changing type of plays that this defense desperately needs. Now we'll see if he's able to maintain it, but that level of performance was probably the most surprising to me, from what we saw, is how well he played.
How encouraging is it? This will be my last question here for you, Vince. So from a general stance, they probably had some chances to put the game away. You're probably sitting there going, they could have won the game easier. It shouldn't have come down to the freak bounce on the punt, which sort of bailed them out from having to make one last stop there. But they look like a better team than South Carolina. That's got to be encouraging first step.
No doubt, Willie, because it was an ugly start, as everybody saw, and there are tons of things that this team can get better on. I mean, tons of things. I didn't think their offensive line was as good as you expected it to be, even though they didn't have Cade Mays, Wanya Morris, who's one of their 5-star sophomores. He didn't start. The ball game played a little bit at right tackle and left tackle, but they just weren't the kind of dominant O-line that I think most of us expected from that group, being the strength of the team. And, you know, they're bust in coverage. They didn't have a couple of key pieces. And Sean Schamberger, their starting star nickelback, he was out. Pruitt wouldn't divulge what it was. It's either contact tracing or an injury. He said it wasn't discipline. And then Darrell Middleton announced before the game that he was out because of some health issues, and then he would be back. So they weren't full strength. They had to move Bryce Thompson from corner to safety, and you know they had first-time inside backers in Crouch and Banks, who at times had some good plays and then other times had struggles. You know, they had the missed throws on offense, and so they had a number of tons of things they can clean up. But if you have coachable point and you can get better and come out of it with a road win in the SEC, I think you feel good about it. And I'm with you. I think they look like and were the better team, and a team that finds a way. And even if they made it harder on themselves, like they typically do, they find a way, and they've had four in their seven straight wins, now the longest winning streak in the SEC, by the way. Four of those have been one possession wins. So they figure out ways to win, and I think it's something that Pruitt's evolution as a head coach, and now not having to super micromanage the coaching staff. He trusts Derek Ansley to run that defense. He trusts Jim Chaney to run the offense. Now Pruitt in his third year can be the head coach and focus on relationships, on the big picture, on strategy in the game, as opposed to being in the weeds where he was his first year, especially where there wasn't that trust in those guys. So that's the evolution of the program, of Pruitt, and it's paid off with some of these closer wins. And I think it is encouraging that they weren't great, yet they still won. And then they're clearly favored to win in their home opener against Missouri on Saturday before the schedule starts to toughen up a little bit.
Vince Ferrara, powered by TechCore, providing you top-of-the-line IT service and Turner Security Systems right here at Asheville. Vince, we got a roll. We got Mike Vrabel coming up next. Appreciate the visit. Have a great week.
All right, you guys do the same. Appreciate you having me.
At Vince Sports on Twitter, he's with the Sports Animal WNML there in Knoxville. Mike Vrabel, just around the corner here on 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.